Thanks, David, and good morning. I guess we'll reiterate a lot of the points that were made, and I would invite you, the secretary, I know you, is front and center at lunch today. I am doing an outlook session at the National Pork Board tent. I'm preceded by Dr. Elwin Taylor talking about weather, so I don't get on that program until about 1:30. So you may be done with the secretary by that time period. If you want to step out there, we give a full grain and livestock outlook session at that time. Let me give you a few highlights of that. First, the grain situation, the cost situation is considerably better than we were a year ago, somewhere in the neighborhood of $10 per hundredweight better on cost of production this year as opposed to 2013, especially 2012. The outlook for that, given the planting of this crop that we got it in a very timely fashion, it seems to be in very good condition at this point. Is very positive for next year. My model with futures prices as of earlier this week had cost in the high 70s on a carcass weight basis, $77 or so for 2015. That's obviously a positive thing for financial performance of hog farms. And so, it's my feeling that we're kind of behind the big wave of high costs caused by biofuels policy a few years ago when we pushed up corn usage faster than we could increase the size of the crop, and of course we've kind of caught up with that. And it looks to me that the worst of the high costs are behind us, with the exception of drought years. We could be back in the 90s every now and then on cost of production when we have a 2012 drought again, and we will have one at some point. But I think we're in much better condition there. The thing that's really working against us on cost at the moment is the situation with soybean meal. We think that could be quite explosive this summer as this carryout stocks are very, very tight on soybeans for 2014. But we've got record acres, and I think we're going to get them all planted and maybe a few more as we go through this year. Part of the problem with soybean meal is that soybean oil is not carrying very much of that value proposition, and the outlook for veg oils is not very positive. There's going to be plenty of palm oil available, and so these high soybean meal prices relative to oil, relative to other feed ingredients, are probably going to continue even into next year. That works more against chicken than it works against pork, and it's one of the reasons we haven't seen chicken respond very much to the price situations we see in the meat complex. Of course, the big situation in our business is PEDV, and somebody asked earlier, just this morning, asked me a question of what do we know about this? And I said, well, we don't know a whole lot from an economic standpoint. We think of some things, and it's very difficult to ascertain the impact of this. We have a decent idea of how many animals have been impacted by this, how many sows have been infected. We have anecdotal evidence of the impact of that on a farm of somewhere around 2.7 to 3 pigs per sow infected that's lost. And if you do the math, you got to come up with somewhere around 8 million pigs that we've lost in the last year. And by just using the positive case accession data from the National Animal Health Lab Network to put that in as a timing over time, the big impact of that is yet to come. I still expect much larger slaughter reductions in July, August, and September. As a matter of fact, I've got the third quarter slaughter down right at 10% relative to a year ago. We're going to make up with part of that with weights. Average hog weights last week were 5% larger than they were a year ago, and part of that is because of lower feed costs. Part of that is because of desires of packers to push some more pounds through plants, and so they've reduced their discounts on heavyweight hogs or waived them or whatever. And so we were pushing very large pigs through. That year-over-year percentage increase, I believe, will get smaller as we go through the summer. Obviously, you have some hotter, higher temperatures, and pigs don't eat as well and don't grow as well, so weights go down in the summertime. But we'll also have to dip deeper and deeper into that supply of pigs, I think, as we go through the summer to keep these plants running at any kind of appreciable rate. Packers are starting in the Midwest, are starting to adjust hours for short supplies. We've seen that happen in Oklahoma back in the winter months as Seaboard had pig losses last summer. We've seen it happen in the Carolinas since really March, and even now Smithfield is idling one plant or another every one day a week in North Carolina. That same kind of thing is going to happen in the Midwest. I've talked to some packers that plan to reduce daily hours. I've talked to others that will probably idle plants for one day a week. Most of them have contractual obligations for 32 hours of labor, and so they're going to try to meet their contractual obligations to keep their labor force, but reduce their total operating hours as much as they can because these pigs coming through. Nobody that I know of has talked about closing a plant or shuttering a plant or layoffs or anything, because these plants are located in generally small towns, and if you lose your labor force, if you can't give them work, they're liable to be gone. And you need to keep those people in town. The impact's this pretty long. I mean, we're going to have very high prices. Consumer prices are going to be high. Some of these small towns are going to see some substantial reductions of income of the people that live there, and that's going to have some impacts on Main Street. So this is a supply-altering disease that we really hadn't ever given much thought to that possibility. We'd always talked about demand-altering diseases like foot-and-mouth disease or classical swine fever. And so this one's having way different impacts than we had anticipated of one of these foreign animal disease outbreaks. But so how do we go from here? First, you've probably talked to the veterinarians and some of the scientists involved in this, and there's not a lot of consistent help on the way, it doesn't look like. We haven't heard much about a vaccine that's effective consistently. We're learning some things about disinfection. We're learning some things about management. We hope to reduce the impact of this. We've got somewhere above half of the sows in the United States, we think. The University of Minnesota says 58% of the systems that they survey, their sow herds have been positive to this. So, the number of naive animals out there continues to get smaller, so that says it might not spread as fast. But we've still got another winter to go through, and there's not very much known about how we're going to control this. So I don't think there's going to be a lot of decisions made within the industry to respond to PEDV until we've got another winter under our belt or we know some more about some control mechanisms. Within the next 12 to 18 months, though, I think the industry collectively is going to look at this and say, what do we do? Do we put in more sows to produce more pigs to overcome the losses we have of PEDV? How do we react to this? I don't think there's much sow herd growth at the present time. Gilt availability is not very good. There's a lot of distracted attention here that, people are trying to take care of what they have instead of growing at the present time. So even though the financial situation is going to be quite positive, inelastic demand means that a 1% reduction in supply gives you, in the case of pigs, a 2 to 3% increase in price. So total revenue goes up. We're going to have a great year financially, but as I've told especially members of the popular press, the non-ag press, don't think for a minute, that we're really like this. Financially, it's going to be a good thing for producers, but this goes against the very being of the people out here trying to take care of these pigs. They don't raise them to die.